"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, you go to the iHeart app and download the John and Ken on demand podcast so you can hear everything every day.
All right. Well, today, a whole bunch of California big city mayors went to Sacramento to beg for more homeless money. As you know, we found out last week that the state budget is projected a deficit of over $30 billion. So this crowd doesn't want to waste any time getting up there and lobbying to make sure they not only get the same amount, they probably get even more money for homelessness. California big city mayors, a coalition of mayors. Let's bring on Blake Trolley, KFI News, who, of course, Karen Bass was among the group to go.
Yeah, guys, she was among the group. This is a bipartisan group of mayors. The mayors are from the largest 13 cities in California. This includes San Jose, Fresno, San Diego, San Francisco, and of course, Los Angeles. And today, the push from these mayors to the governor and to state lawmakers is more money is needed than Governor Newsom's more than $3.7 billion he's allocated in his proposed budget towards homelessness. As you mentioned there, Ken, there is a projected shortfall for this budget. The mayor, with that said, still allocated $3.7 billion in the state budget for homelessness. But Mayor Bass and these other mayors say they want more money to fight homelessness. Mayor Bass making her push in Sacramento along with all of these mayors today.
While this year's state budget must be difficult, the need for housing interventions and services must remain a top priority. We need to ensure additional funding in this budget to make an even bigger impact. I'm proud to stand with my colleagues from the Big City Mayors Coalition and join them in asking for additional funding for HAP, HomeKey, and mental health and substance abuse beds. This is the number one crisis we are facing in California, and the only way we will solve it is by acting together with locked arms, as we say in Los Angeles, to bring folks inside
Nobody
for good.
Nobody says that.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard anybody say that in Los Angeles.
So I should lay this out, guys. The budget for next year for 23 to 24 is more than $306 billion. Again, Governor Newsom allocating $3.7 billion to a variety of homelessness programs. And what these mayors want, they want an allocation of $2 billion every year. So that's pretty significant given that the entire budget for next year is $3.7 billion. They want $2 billion every year through 2026. So this would be a total of $6 billion and a type of grant funding that goes directly to cities to fight homelessness. Additionally, the mayors want $1.5 billion in Project Home Key money. This is a program you guys have heard of. Everybody's heard of this, of course. Creates a mix of housing through throughout the state, from hotels to homes to converted commercial property.
Did anyone discuss about the billions that they have gotten and have produced no positive results towards reducing homelessness on the streets? Every year, there's more and more vagrants on the streets, and every year they get billions of more dollars. So everything they're doing has on a net has increased homelessness.
Yeah, John, they laid out some numbers today. The mayors say that they have plans to reduce homelessness by 16% by 2025. That's more than 13,000 people.
16%. Which means 84% of the homeless will remain on the streets 2 years from now.
And then on Home Key, and this is the program they want $1.5 billion for, the mayors say the program has so far created more than 5,100 new homes, and the funding they're asking for, so this is that $1.5 billion, would create more than 2,300 new homes. So just to give you a breakdown that price tag.
Anybody talk about the relentless influx of vagrants from all the other states in the union to California? We got 12% of the population and a third of the homeless.
And that's something that I think is going to become a conversation. It's something I'm certainly curious to hear from the governors. Is there going to be a call for federal funding? Because, yeah, the homeless issue, of course, doesn't originate. Not every homeless person originates from California. A lot of them migrate to California, and then that gets worked into our state budget.
But nobody ever accounted for the billions of dollars they've spent already that were basically blown, that didn't help the situation.
Yeah, and one thing I want to touch on, guys, I heard Ken talking about this as well, is the Inside Safe program. Mayor Bass today giving that update on Inside Safe and on all of the efforts that she's made towards homelessness. She pointed to housing more than 4,000 people since she's taken office. But back to Inside Safe, that program is starting to cause some ruffles at City Hall. When you talk about accountability and people wanting accountability for a program, some city council members want more frequent updates on the program. The council had actually requested reports every 2 weeks as part of the initial $50 million that was allocated to fund the program. And officials say those updates have not happened. Councilwoman Monica Rodriguez yesterday expressed frustration that there have only been 2 updates in 5 months. She says she wants more information on people being helped, including where are they going and how Inside Safe operations are being determined. The city's chief administrative officer says yesterday, this was during that second update, that 15 camps across the city have had operations so far. He says more than 1,200 placements have happened. I'm working to figure out exactly what a placement means.
Yeah, what
again,
is that?
This is starting to ruffle some feathers in City Hall because they want to see, exactly what's happening with that money that's being invested more frequently.
Do these people stay in the hotels?
That's what Councilwoman Monica Rodriguez wants to know. She wants more data on exactly what's happening, more follow through on exactly how this program is working. So I think given that the city council is starting to make some noise about this, I think we're going to get some more information on exactly how this program's working.
All right, Blake, thank you very much for that report.
You got it.
Blake Trolley, KFI News, on Mayor Bassetti going to Sacramento to plead for more homeless spending money.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful here. I'm not entirely aware of every position that Monica Rodriguez, the city councilwoman, has. But some of them, and I think Yaroslavsky is one of these, they don't like this Inside Safe program, but they're coming from a complete different perspective. They're like, well, that's just going to shuffle the homeless people around. You're just going to move them out of an encampment. They're going to end up somewhere else. But they don't really like you messing with the street people.
No, they want the street people to stay in the street and do all kinds of disgusting, gross things in front of people's homes. That's what Katie Yaroslavsky's into. That's why she let that encampment on San Vicente stay there for months. She wasn't doing anything.
And our concern is, if you're going to put them in these hotels, well, then what? Do they stay there, as John asked? Do they end up in some sort of permanent housing? And is it going to be that permanent housing like those Skid Row buildings that are disgusting?
Right.
I mean, really? This idea of housing first sends you down this path, which is an awful, disgusting rabbit hole. Because what I just described is often what happens. Some of them are going to leave the hotels because they don't like the rules. Others may be shuttled over to these, quote, permanent supportive housing units, which get destroyed and go bankrupt.
Right. So are these people out of the encampments, are they sitting in these hotels and they're doing their drugs all day and their booze?
Yeah,
all right. I mean, they're all addicts or they're mental patients, and the mental patients inside their hotel rooms.
That's a good question. I don't know whether or not this inside safe where she's putting them in these hotels, if they have the rules or not.
What's the difference between this and all the buildings that were destroyed for that Skid Row housing nonprofit that we've been talking about, right? They had 29 of their buildings destroyed.
Skid Row Housing Trust, yeah.
So now we're going to find out that these dozens of old hotels are being destroyed. Nobody's being weaned off their drugs and booze, and none of them are getting mental health treatment. And I'm glad they're inside a hotel and they're not on the street, but eventually they're going to ruin the place.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk more about this when we come back, including a victory lap of sorts taken by a public media outlet, KCRW, that Proposition HHH has finally paid off, says the headline, more than 6 years after it passed. But when you actually dig into the article, you'll see that, and we don't even know what the future is of this permanent housing, but it's a small number considering that LA has 42,000 homeless people.
It seems John like the, and Ken, the article contradicts the headline.
Kind of it does. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, it was back in 2016 when the voters of Los Angeles, which did not include John Cobalt, okayed Proposition HHH, which is supposed to stand for Housing Development Supportive Housing. It was a property tax increase to come up with $1.2 billion in bonds to build permanent supportive housing. And as soon as I see that number, $1.2 billion, I think, you can tell that ain't going to build much.
No.
And you have 42,000 homeless people, and then we started hearing about the cost of some of these buildings, $500,000. It was an apartment in Koreatown or something like that. You know there's no way that this would be enough money anyway. But supposedly it's not all the money. They were getting money from other sources as part of this program to put up this new housing. But KCRW, which is what, a Bay Area public radio station?
No, it's out of Santa Monica.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, they touted that it's a victory. Proposition HHH has finally paid off more than 6 years after it passed.
This is why you can't trust public radio, because they're cheerleaders for every wacky progressive cause that doesn't work. And what they always do in these stories, you see this in the El Segundo propaganda Pravda Times, is they start off with a first-person, heartrending story.
Olga
Rosario. Now, what do we have 62-year-old
here? 62-year-old woman, and not your typical ugly, vagrant male that we see on the streets.
No, not some guy whose meth addiction caused him to lose all his teeth. He's not a guy in fentanyl and xylazine who has big, open, bloody sores, right? He's not stumbling around like a zombie. They pick a 62-year-old woman with a seashell collection.
They really soften the attitude, right?
It says the bathroom in Olga Rosario's new studio in Sylmar has an entire shelf dedicated to her seashell collection. I love the beach, Rosario says. The sink by the window. That's what I've always wanted. She's 62 years old and she never had a sink? What has she done with her life? And of course they don't tell you that part.
What do you think? She just wanted the sink by the window. Maybe she's had a sink, but not by the window.
Oh, so that's what we're paying for?
You can wash the dishes and look out and see the beautiful environment.
So she can watch a bird while she's washing the dishes. This is what
she's
I'm saying.
In some sort of apartment building in Sylmar, 56 units, formerly homeless disabled tenants who get deeply subsidized rents and supportive services such as on-site counseling.
So it's 56 units. We've got over 40,000 homeless people and they built 56 units, and KCRW thinks that it's time to hold a parade.
They claim that more than a dozen buildings will open every remaining quarter of this year.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, when you toll this up, it's not going to house anything close to the 42,000.
No, and it's not.
They said they were supposed to only create 10,000 new units over 10 years with HHH.
And it's not getting the psychotic meth addicts off the street. Oh, this morning, going to get the bagel, right?
Mm.
And I'm going down the last half block before I pull in front of the bagel shop. And on the corner, I noticed this guy and actually slowed down to look at him for a second. He's sitting on a stoop, right? Like a little cement bench. And it looks like he had peed in front of himself. Hmm. And he had his hand on his genitals. He's wearing pants, but he's vigorously juggling and tugging on his genital area.
Oh.
Like there's a whole rhythm thing going on there. And it looks like he's already peed in front of himself.
Well,
get that guy off the street.
I would not be hungry for a bagel anymore.
No, it actually, yes, it did upset my stomach a bit.
No.
And I parked the car, I got out, and I looked down the street, and he was still doing it. So this is morning, technically it was Santa Monica, morning in Santa Monica. The hell?
Yeah, it's...
That guy's not being taken off the street, but we have a 62-year-old woman of the seashell collection.
Because it's always the low-hanging fruit. That's the term we use for when they go after the easy ones that they can house, who don't object to rules, who are calm. I mean, there's some of them. Not every vagrant is a crazy alcoholic and mental patient, but that's how... And then they sell the story to the media.
Right.
Well, look at what impact and inroads we've made. We got Olga in an apartment with a sink by the window.
Here's one of the most galling quotes from Ann Sillo, the general manager of the city's housing department. And she's referring to the lack of success for the last 6 years, ever since we passed this.
Oh, yeah, because a couple of councilmen, including that dope Jose Huizar, said you're going to see big results within 6 months.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have a quote here. Now, again, he's on his way
to... 2 years, we're going to see a significant reduction in people living on the streets. He told the LA Times back in 2016.
Significant reduction in 2 years. That would be 2018. According to this felon, Huizar is headed to prison now. But this is what happened. They passed $1 billion, and Gasbags, this crooked, felonious politician, Huizar, tells the LA Times, who dutifully prints it, oh, yes, in 2 years, you're going to see significant developments. Well, it was all a complete lie. And then Ann Sewell, the general manager of the city's housing department, said, quote, I think we got a little bit trapped by bad messaging. Oh, is that the new term for lying? We got a little bit trapped by bad messaging. In other words, you hardly got anybody off the street. You hardly built anything. It was a total swindle of the taxpayer. Complete theft. And now 6 years later, you have a 56-unit building, and the public radio shows are going, woohoo, look at that, look at that.
The rest of her quote is, there was so much excitement around finally having resources. The fact that they weren't immediately generating places to live was a huge letdown for a lot of people.
Hey.
Well, here we are now 7 years later, and you got a couple of buildings up.
Yeah. And
again, it's the low-hanging fruit you're putting in there. What about that crowd that was on San Vicente and the nude woman on the couch? When are you going to take care of that?
And we were told that there was just a lack of available shelter for them. That's why the nude lady was on the sofa. They didn't have a place for her. So which is it?
Well, they found a place because that encampment's empty now.
Well, found a place after it made the front page of all the newspapers.
Well, that's what you have to do is make noise about every homeless encampment and try to get coverage until they're embarrassed enough to do something about it, because often they won't.
What? Oh, we got trapped by bad. I've noticed this now. They tell lies or they tell just preposterous stories, and they say, well, it was ineffective messaging. You didn't tell the truth. You hoodwinked and swindled people. That's what you did. You're a bunch of con artists.
That's hoodwinked. A throwback. Hoodwinked.
Yeah.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. It's the iHeartRadio app.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And Stan, we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
the
podcast
juicy.
Would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You can be part of one or two mobs. The mob that listens between 1 and 4 on the radio, and after 4 o'clock, the podcast, John and Ken on demand on the iHeart app.
A lot of mob members like that, too.
Yes.
And the Moist Line is another way to connect to the show. We do play those calls on Friday. It's coming up in just 2 days. So leave your messages using the iHeartRadio app. If you want to do it that way, you use the microphone icon to leave a message for the Moist Line. Or call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Too bad we're missing the animal lady because she would enjoy, I think, mostly a video I was just looking at on Fox 11. Apparently, they're Sky Fox today. Caught the end of I don't know whether it was a chase, but there's two guys that have to get out of a car and splay down on the ground to be arrested, as usually happens at the end of many chases, right?
Yeah.
And you see all the cop cars lined up behind them. Well, one of them had a small dog. And the small dog, as the man gets out of the car with his hands up, the dog just keeps circling the guy around and around. Eventually, the guy walks forward, and then he lays down on the street, and he splays out his arms and his legs. The dog hops on his back and just kind of sits there. It's actually adorable.
He hasn't pinned.
But now the dog wants to play, doesn't really understand what's going on. So he does kind of have him pinned, but he just sits up there on his back.
He switched sides.
The cops are walking up like, what the hell? That dog is just, he's really attached to this guy. He may be a thug. I don't know what the arrest was about.
Well,
I have no idea.
The dog is providing a little interference there. So the cops.
Kind of was, but yeah. Also was just, I just want to be with you and around you. And now that you're going to lie on the ground, well, there we go. I can hop up on you. Maybe that's what he does at home when a guy lies on the couch, the dog hops up on his chest. So now he's lying on his stomach. I'll just hop on his back.
Shows you how dumb dogs are, huh? He has no idea what's going on.
Eventually the cop comes. The leash was there, but the dog was walking with the leash hanging on the street. And then the cop grabs the leash. The dog was not resisting arrest, so he took the dog away.
I think he was aiding arrest.
It was safer. Yeah, I guess. I don't know what he was doing. He just wanted
to. Maybe he thought, you know, you are a bad guy. I'm just going to sit on you until the cops come.
And another great story, it's actually also from Fox 11, comes with one of those you just have to see it mugshots. This is a guy who's got hair, John, like Shemp of the Three Stooges. Remember Shemp?
Oh, yeah.
The long dark hair was usually split in the middle. It was kind of greasy looking and a little disheveled.
Yeah.
Staring into the camera. And I don't know why, but he's shirtless, the man in this particular mugshot. I don't know whether he's completely nude, but he's not too bright. Apparently, this happened in Moreno Valley. And sheriff's deputies from Riverside County were called to the home of Gilberto Puga on Sunday. He called the police to report that two women broke into his home. When they got there, they heard women screaming for help. They determined that the women had been imprisoned in the guy's home.
Wait, he had called the police?
They found, so when the deputies got, yes, he called the police to report that two women have broken into my home. That's the reason that they responded.
Now that he's trying to cover his...
I guess so, with his own story.
How long were they in there?
We don't know yet. After an investigation, detectives determined the women did not break into the home. They were locked in the home against their will and tortured. So he was arrested yesterday.
Jeez.
But they had to figure out what was going on first. When they arrived there, they found women walking away from the house, and he was uncooperative with deputies and eventually left the location.
After calling the police.
Yes. Yes. They're now asking anybody that may have had a similar experience with the man to call the Moreno Valley Sheriff Station, because he may have done this to other women before, just to held them against
their
will.
There's so many predators and animals out there.
Looking at him, I have a feeling he's either on drugs or got really drunk and just thought, you know, I'll try to turn the tables on these two. I'll report them as breaking into my home. That'll teach him.
Yeah, good one.
They had a different story. And also from the crime world, making news today, we're not going to have a preliminary hearing for the man that's accused of stabbing to death the four University of Idaho students. Instead, a grand jury indicted him. So that's two ways that a prosecutor can go. He can put it before a judge in a preliminary hearing, or he can put it before a grand jury and let them decide whether or not there's enough evidence to indict on charges.
Yeah,
and
that's the grand jury said yes. That's a confidential way of doing it. You do it at a hearing. A lot more information gets public.
Yeah, that's so kind of a bummer, because this was supposed to happen in June. I remember you were incredulous because these murders happened last November. He was arrested in late December. And you're like, we got to wait till June? But apparently Brian Koberger wanted it that way.
He must have waived. He's got a right to a speedy trial. Everybody does. And I guess he waived that.
And so that's maybe instead why prosecutors decided then to try the grand jury route, rather than wait until June.
There's still been very little information revealed about the type of evidence they have and whether they figured out his reason for doing this.
Right. It says here that everything was set to have an extended preliminary hearing next month, which would have explored much of the evidence collected by investigators.
Right.
But the grand jury indictment eliminates that process. So now we have to wait for the actual trial to see the whole case spelled out by the prosecution. Although, you know, we know some of it. We know about the knife sheath, and there was DNA found on that they linked with his own DNA because they took it out of his trash in Pennsylvania.
There's no mystery here other than the morbid curiosity of why he fixated on these girls.
These girls.
Yeah.
But then there were stories that he had run across them before, and that sometimes he ate at a restaurant where one of them worked.
Right. So did one of them give him a bad meal? Did she complain about the tip? Was it a sexual attraction? Was it a cool group that he wanted to be a part of?
Right.
Wanted to date one of them.
Was the key was that car, that white Hyundai Elantra. We all laughed about that back in December, that, oh, wow, somebody saw a car drive by. But that turned out to be key, and it matches a vehicle seen on surveillance footage near the home. He actually did drive a white Hyundai Elantra.
They
determined from his phone that he had been in the region hours before and after the killings.
How many guys walk around with dark obsessions, fixations on one woman or another, their frustrations, you know, the incel crowd?
Yeah, I always thought this guy was part of the incel crowd.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, is he 29 years old? There was no link to him in relationships.
No,
there wasn't a lot about people that, you know, really.
No girlfriend said, oh, I dated Brian. He was wonderful.
No,
I still miss him. No, incel. And remember, the in the phrase incel is involuntary.
Yes, it's involuntary.
It's not a religious
involuntarily
choice.
Involuntarily celibate.
It's that absolutely no woman on the planet is interested in him. How many women are there? About 4 billion in the planet. You can't get one out of 4 billion after 29 years. Wow, you must be sending off some really bad vibes.
So his hope one day supposedly was to provide counseling for high-profile criminals. So that's the other thing about this. That's what he was studying criminology at the university in Washington.
Those were his heroes. This was his life's work. High-profile criminals means guys who killed a lot.
He went to Washington State, and it says the university counseled him over a verbal altercation he had with a professor and investigated his conduct with women around the time of the killings. He was ultimately fired from his job as a teaching assistant in December, just before he got arrested. So that kind of happened separately. He was having some other issues going on. And of course, we found out that during his teen years, apparently he got hooked on heroin. Mm-hmm. He got really fat. He had some real emotional problems.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, he's a crazy person.
Because when people looked at him in the pictures, like, oh, it's just this clean-cut, thin guy who looks like any other average white guy.
This you never know what's going on in people's brains.
No, in this case, his study of criminology brought him so close to this. I do think he tried to get away with, like, a perfect crime.
Yeah, but he just
psychotically picked out his victims and decided, I'll go to that party house. They won't even know I'm there because that place is kind of chaotic.
Did not execute.
I bet you I can stab people to death and walk out of there.
Did not execute properly.
Right. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Here's a bulletin. A group of black congressmen and women held a press conference today and demanded $14 trillion in reparations.
Oh.
$14
trillion. Oh, this is the U.S. government.
U.S. congressmen and women. They want the U.S. government. $14 trillion.
This is catching on.
Yeah.
San Francisco wants to do it. California wants to do it. Now somebody in Washington, D.C. wants to do it for the nation.
One of them is running for Senate to replace Dianne Feinstein.
How come nobody in Alabama is doing this?
Yeah.
Where there was actual slavery.
Right.
Lots of it.
Right.
Georgia.
Go talk to the descendants of the slave owners in the southern states.
Those Confederate states, man.
That's right. My family didn't own any slaves. Okay.
So. Bag of worms just keeps opening up. The New York Post has got an exclusive inside the drama of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's New York City paparazzi chase ordeal.
Oh, please tell me.
Four reporters on this.
Four.
However, the first paragraph is their near catastrophe and over 2-hour paparazzi car chase wasn't exactly the high drama debacle that their reps made out. So you heard all the headlines this morning that, oh my God, everyone could have died. And remember what happened to Princess Diana.
And then everybody remembered, wait a second, this is Manhattan.
Couple was tailed for about an hour and had a police escort, according to law enforcement sources. So I don't know how that could become that dangerous.
It wasn't. They lied. They wanted attention. They're addicted to publicity. They're narcissists.
Nobody called 911. There were no collision reports. Right. So if this was this dangerous, you think somebody would have said, hey, do something. There's crazy cars riding around on the streets here.
They made up.
And of course, this happened in Manhattan. They left the Ziegfeld Theater in Midtown just before 10 p.m.
They made up a big lie, and everybody in the media went for it. See,
yes.
Years ago, a reporter would check out to see if a story was true, or at least there was some basis for it. You'd get some witnesses, you'd get a police statement, you'd find out the background. Now they just a public relations flack for these two knuckleheads says, oh my God, a horrible paparazzi chase. You remember what happened to his mother? Oh, this went on for 2 hours. They were chased all over the place. It was so dangerous. They almost died. Oh, except it didn't happen.
Now, apparently they come out of the theater and there is paparazzi hounding them. But in the end, they get into a vehicle and they're flanked by both a private security car and an NYPD vehicle. So it's not like they're alone in a car and they're being chased by hordes of paparazzi driving 100 miles an hour.
You can't go 100 miles an hour.
Not in Manhattan.
In Manhattan. It's impossible. They just lied. They flat out lied. They're looking for attention.
Apparently her mother was with them, too. You Meghan know what? Markle's mother.
They because increasingly people hate them and are fed up with them, so they're trying to get sympathy. So they were trying to dredge up the ghost of Diana. Oh, remember how Diana died? Look at that. We almost died, too. It's like, sit down.
So what they did was they drove in circles, if you know New York, between FDR Drive and West 57th Street. Then they stopped on at a police precinct on the Upper East Side. They kind of hung out in the garage, and then they just jumped into a cab.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, Meghan, and Doria, the mother. They were trying to just... fake out the paparazzi by, you know, ditching the car and taking a cab. The cab driver spoke to the Post. Got a great name, Sukchum. Yeah, Sukchum Sunny Singh. His nickname is Sunny.
Sukchum. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't go by Sukchum.
It might be Sukchum. Sukchum.
His friends call him Suk.
He said they didn't say much. They were nice people. They looked a little nervous, but they didn't seem scared.
Wow.
And then he did say a bunch of paparazzi came out of nowhere towards his cab. It wasn't scary what happened when I had them in the cab, but I don't know what happened before with them. So he's talking about the last part of this trip where he took them to the Upper East Side.
No, you know, but people click on those stories.
They do.
And you know what? I blame women for this. I don't know of a single guy who follows these two. Seriously.
It was hard to avoid the headlines this morning, but I didn't actually click the story.
No, but I mean, just in terms of like discussion, just, you know, whenever. Only women talk about them. No men.
Now we'll talk about a car situation of a whole different kind. We're going to get the audio on this story. NBC9 in Denver. A very unusual DUI stop. Let's listen.
A rough night for at least a driver in a southeastern Colorado town. That's because he tried to switch seats with his dog after being pulled over on suspicion of DUI. Now, it happened in the small town of Springfield. That's in Colorado's southeastern corner. Springfield police say an officer pulled over a driver going 52 and a 30, and then the driver tried to switch seats with his dog. The dog had been in the passenger seat. They said they were trying to get from Los Animas to Pueblo, but got lost. Well, they were, because as you can see on the map, Springfield's in the other direction. The town's actually closer to Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico than it is to Pueblo. Police say there were also two sober people in the back seat, one of whom the actual owner of the car. Springfield's police chief says he doesn't know why one of them wasn't driving. The driver, who they found in the passenger seat, was booked on several charges, as well as two prior warrants coming out of Pueblo. The other two passengers then took the car and the dog to Pueblo.
So
I don't understand any of that.
So this guy apparently is driving drunk. Right, he gets pulled over, and the dog's sitting in the seat next to him. He's got two people in the back seat, but he tries to switch places with the dog to pin the erratic driving on the dog.
The owner of the car is sitting sober in the back seat.
That makes no sense. You're right.
So
why didn't that person drive?
So they were out together. It's like, you know what? I'll let the drunk guy drive my car. I'll sit in the back.
Maybe he wanted to try it out. He just said, hey, man, can I try your car?
And then if you're pulling a switch, wouldn't you pick the sober owner?
Well, I don't think you pick a dog.
Well, the dog was sober.
True. But maybe not credible as a driver.
Seriously, are they sure those two in the back were sober, or that maybe they were stoned on something? Or
it seemed to be the indication that they were.
So he
then exited the side of the car and claimed he wasn't driving, but he showed clear signs of intoxication. When asked about his alcohol consumption, he ran from the police officers.
That's a good response.
Within 20 yards of the car.
That's a sign of innocence right there.
He had two active warrants for his arrest,
so
he was already a wanted guy.
I think this is his whole life. Every day it's something.
The poor dog. This is two dog stories this half hour alone. The poor dog and the police in South L.A., and now this poor dog.
Not one, but two sober people in the backseat. I don't believe they were sober. They couldn't have been. They must have been whacked on something.
All right, when we return, we are going to go back to the border for a couple of stories. One concerns, this happens every time, doesn't it? That six people on the FBI terror watch list were apprehended in Arizona.
Oh, that's good news.
That's always good news to know they're in the country. And then what we suspected, although I didn't know it was TikTok, But apparently the migrants are big on using social media for, quote, the latest information on migrating to the... Yeah, the latest... I'm not saying it's good information, just information.
No, but it gets them to come here.
And we'll explain all this coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Markoff, Mark Ronner, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.